With me in God's Word tonight to the book of Malachi, chapter 4. Once again, it is a privilege to be at the meeting house with the saints. I thank you for being here. It's always a privilege to preach the Word. I realize that I'm not worth 10 cents, but I've got the greatest material in the world, this King James Bible. It's been a good day. Been able to get some things accomplished, and then thanks to Brother and Sister Cato for having me over, and preacher and his wife for supper. It was very good, a good time of fellowship, and I appreciate all that each of you have done to make me feel welcome. Your hospitality, it's a blessing. Just pray that God would reward you for it. He is good. Yes, He is. This book is an amazing book. Tonight we are going to preach from a passage of Scripture that is obviously concerning the end times, and it concerns Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews. You remember, as we have cited Romans chapter 15 several times already during the meeting, that Scripture is for our comfort, that all Scripture is written for our learning, though not all of it is written directly to us. We can learn some things from it. It would help us to do well as Christians to realize that the majority of this book is written concerning Israel, and that a great portion of what we find in the Old Testament, as well as certain passages in the New Testament, deal with the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now make no mistake about it. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return for the saints in the rapture, what the Word of God refers to as the appearing. He is going to receive us unto Himself. We are going to ever be with the Lord. That event is going to take place prior to the tribulation period. And as saints, we will not go through 1 second of the time of Jacob's trouble. We know that, and we are thankful. But there are passages that are often misapplied by the church, often misused and misinterpreted. A few of those we will examine tonight. And we will talk about the time known as the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. His first advent, when He came and was born, lived a perfect life, died a sinless sacrifice for our sins, rose again from the dead, and ascended to the Father. The second advent, of course, is when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation period. That is where Malachi chapter 4 begins tonight, as we read. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Let's pray. Father, it is good to be in this place this evening. Lord, we're grateful. God, I need your help to preach. Lord, I pray that the word would be made plain. God, I pray that you would meet with each person here, whatever the need. God, we know that you can take care of it. If there be one in our midst who does not know you, Oh Lord, we pray that that soul would be saved tonight. God, for anything that the saints need, God, we ask tonight that you would take care of that as well. Oh Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. For behold, the day cometh, the Bible tells us. This is the day of the Lord. Prior to the coming of the day of the Lord, the scripture says in verse 5 of our text, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This references one of the two witnesses that are there mentioned in Revelation chapter 11. One of them being Elijah. Why Elijah? Because he was indeed a prophet great in the eyes of the Jews, significant in their history. And of course, you know that one of those witnesses there in Revelation chapter 11 will have the ability to call down fire from heaven. It was Elijah who prayed and the fire fell, as we have read already this week. The day of the Lord. We know it will be a terrible time for those who are here upon this earth. Those who are gathered together against Israel. It will be a terrible day for them when the Lord returns. For behold, the scripture tells us, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. That's a description of what will happen to those whom the Lord will destroy. Those who are seeking to destroy His chosen people, the Jews. Those who refuse to acknowledge Him and to repent at the preaching of His word during this our day. It'd be a horrible thing to be alive today, to hear the preaching of God's word, to know a gospel witness, to have a tract placed in your hands, to have someone to pray for you that you would hear the word of the Lord and be saved, and reject that witness. A horrible thing. The things of which we speak tonight will await you should the rapture happen and you not be taken. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Later in the next verse, the Bible says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. For all that do wickedly, it's going to be a horrible time. For those who fear his name, it's going to be a wonderful time. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Another one of the titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness. Now there is much going to take place just prior to the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. You know that there are many signs given in the Word of God. We read of them in the Gospels. Things that will be taking place. Things that will precede His coming. You know that the world will be talking about peace, and yet no real peace will come until the Lord Jesus Christ establishes His kingdom. You know that they will deceive the Jews, and that the Jews will make an agreement with the Antichrist there in Israel, and they will realize afterwards that they have been deceived. It's going to be a time whenever men's hearts fail them for fear. Things will begin to take place on the earth, and there will be signs in the heavens. And of course, we know that at that time, the Bible tells us that significant changes will happen to the earth itself. It will be removed out of its place. We know that the sun, a third of it will be destroyed. A third of the moon will be destroyed. And a third of the stars as well. So that things change in the climate, even the very days themselves must be shorter because the sun and the moon and the stars are not the same. But did not the Lord say there in Matthew chapter 24, for the elect's sake the days shall be shortened? He did. And of course, the elect is again talking about the Jews. And of course, the Bible tells us it will be a day of darkness. We look to the book of Joel. In Joel chapter 2. In Joel 2, the Bible tells us in verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire. Now this is just what we read about Malachi 4, verse 1. So now in Joel 2, verse 3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. It's going to be a day of darkness and of gloominess as the Lord returns. Again, in that same chapter of the book of Joel, verse 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The sun turned into darkness and the moon into blood. We look to the book of Isaiah 34. In Isaiah 34, we read about this same time period. Isaiah 34, and we begin reading with verse 5. Well, verse 4. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth all from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Here is a little information given in the 34th chapter of the book of Isaiah concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in his second advent. Whenever he steps out of the third heaven to make his way back to this earth, he is going to fight against those devils that are there in the second heaven. In fact, the scripture says that his sword shall be bathed in heaven. And as he fights his way through those devils, the blood is going to flow down from the heavens, and the moon will be turned to blood. Now, this is not blood moons like some television preachers tell us, some phase of the moon. Literally, the blood of devils is going to cover the moon and turn it into blood when the Lord Jesus Christ fights his way down from heaven to this earth to fight the battle of Armageddon whenever he returns. It will be a bloody time, and his vesture is going to be dyed with the blood of those that he puts to death on this earth as he fights that great battle. It will be a bloody time, as the blood will literally flow to great depths there in that valley of Armageddon. The Lord Jesus Christ will return. It is the day of the Lord, and it is the day of the Lord's vengeance.
everything that the world has done against him. Those that have snubbed the Lord and those that have spoken against his chosen people, the Jews. Whenever he returns, he will return in vengeance and he will do that injustice at that time. Whenever he returns, it's going to be something to behold. And we are going to see it, for we will be following him from heaven. The Bible tells us when we look to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah 12. When you study scripture, do not look for it to always be in chronological order. You must compare scripture with scripture and you must run references and you must study, comparing one part of the Word of God with another. Sometimes realizing that there could be thousands of years of difference in the beginning of one verse and the end of the same verse. And we study the scripture with that knowledge. Zechariah 12. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us that the world is going to hate his chosen people, the Jews. They will gather themselves one day in the future against Israel. You know, it's not beyond the realm of possibility. They hate Israel now. They'd do anything that they could to get rid of the Jews. They've tried it across the centuries and they've not been successful. But there's coming a day when the armies of the world will march against Israel. They won't even know why they're going there. They think that they're going to straighten out that problem, to do away with the Jews, to take Israel and give those Arabs the land of Palestine so that there can finally be peace upon the earth. But they will not know that the Lord has gathered them there to destroy them. And they will lay siege round about Jerusalem. The Bible tells us here. We look to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Now this is a New Testament passage, but this is clearly talking about the second advent. In fact, it's enlarging upon the scripture we just read in Zechariah chapter 12. So in Luke chapter 21 and verse 17, Jesus said, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." When ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, that's what the Bible was talking about in Zechariah 12 and verse 2. Whenever they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And what does the scripture go on to say there in verse 20 of Luke chapter 21? "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." These be the days of vengeance. Judah, Jerusalem, they're going to be overrun with the armies of the world. Jerusalem is going to be under siege. The people will not have the things that they need in order to exist. It's going to be a dark time for them. It will be a terrible time. Indeed, it will be a time of Jacob's trouble. And again, saints, I tell you, there's not one saved person who has believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that will go through the time of Jacob's trouble. But Jacob will. And they will know great tribulation, and they will see the wrath of the Lord, but they'll also see the salvation of the Lord. Keep in mind as these events transpire, as the armies march there to Israel, as they surround Jerusalem and lay it under siege, and there is not enough food, and there's not enough drink, and they do not have the necessities. And on top of all that, things begin to change in the heavens. The sun is different. The moon refuses to shine. The moon then is turned into blood. Stars are falling, and they know that things have gotten darker than they've ever been before. Why, it's not just their enemies coming against them, but it seems that the earth itself has turned against those people. It is a time of darkness, a time of gloominess. It is a time that Israel will not survive unless they get some help. They will look around them and see no help coming. They will look within themselves and know that they cannot possibly resist what is taking place. But that's when the scripture where we started tonight in the book of Malachi chapter 4 helps us to understand. The scripture said, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." The Son of Righteousness. This is not the sun that we see shining in its strength day by day. But this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God who is returning. And the scripture here says, "The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." We look to Isaiah 13. There in Isaiah 13, we find some things that would be accomplished on the earth at this time. Do you remember the prayer as the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray"? It's commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer there in Matthew chapter 6. That's not the Lord's Prayer. His is in John chapter 17. That's a model prayer that has to do with the kingdom of heaven, a time in the future. And you remember one part of it? "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." That's why it's known as the day of the Lord, because it is a day in which his will be accomplished. And in Isaiah 13, we see that. Verse 6, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will." Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Here's the answer to that prayer. "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger." Over and over again, "I will, I will, I will." And who shall withstand him to keep him from accomplishing his will in earth at that time? There's no one who will be able to stand against him. What he wills is going to take place. Now, you know it's not that way during this church age economy. You can resist his will. It's not good to do. The lost can resist his will. He's not willing that any should be perished. And everyone who is in hell right now is there against the will of God. But there is coming a day when his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And no one will resist his will. They cannot resist at that time, because he will make everything that he has desired to come to pass take place. Again, I remind you of what the scripture said there in the book of Zechariah 12. Behold, now when Israel is compassed about. Whenever Judah is under siege, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All the armies of the world will come up against Jerusalem. They'll come to do away with the Jews. And at that time, they'll realize when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. For you see, it's not just the Jews who are seeing the changes around them, seeing the changes in the sky, but all of the world will see it, and they'll know that something's different. They'll begin to realize we have come up here to have our way with Jerusalem, but something's wrong. Jerusalem has become a burdensome stone for us. We don't really want to be here. We don't really want any part of this, but it'll be too late. For the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, and He is going to exact vengeance. We look to Isaiah 60, and the Bible there tells us more about this time. In Isaiah 60, we read, beginning with verse 18, "Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time." Now, at that time, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings. It's going to be dark. We know that the sun will not give its light and the moon will not give her light. And the primary reason why is because there is one who is returning, whose brightness is greater than that of the sun, whose brightness will make the moon dark. And can't you imagine whenever things are dark and the armies are gathered round, then things begin to lighten. They begin to get brighter than they ever had before. They won't really understand it, but it's the fulfillment of Scripture. Whenever the Lord is returning to exact vengeance upon the world, He is coming to give redemption unto His people. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings. And He is going to aid His chosen ones. Isaiah 24 tells us more about this. Isaiah 24 and verse 23. Isaiah 24, at the same time, you know, the Scripture says there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, He will destroy that wicked one with the brightness of His coming. It's when the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in His wings. And Isaiah 24, verse 23, "Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before His ancients gloriously." In Jeremiah 23, we read, beginning there with verse 1, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings. It's not just the brightness of His coming. It's not just the glory of His person. But what makes Him glorious and what makes Him brilliant is the righteousness that He has. Oh, he is all righteousness. And there is no unholiness, no unrighteousness in him. And folks, surely you understand that that place over there will never know peace unless first they know righteousness. It's the same way with us making a spiritual application. We look for our problems to be solved. We look for them to be taken away. We look to have great peace. And very often the reason why we do not have peace is because of the way we are living. And it's because we are not right with God, and there'll never be peace until there is righteousness. And especially for those who are unsaved, they may try everything the world has to offer, but they'll never know peace until their souls are saved and they have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. No righteousness, no peace. It's just that simple. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, Israel is going to know peace because he who is righteousness will live in the midst of them and will rule over them and govern the whole earth. And it will be a time of righteousness on this earth as the world has never known. Then the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. What a blessing it's going to be. We turn to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, and there we began reading with verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. That's going to be a wonderful time when the Lord establishes his kingdom. Whenever they realize the brightness of the whole earth is there in Jerusalem, and it's not a thing, it's a person, and they're going to come up and worship him from year to year, bringing memorials unto him, ministering unto his chosen people, the Jews, and they will do this for 1,000 years. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Oh, whereas before the world gathered itself together against Israel in order to put the Jews to death, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he's going to make it all better. The world then will flow to Jerusalem to minister unto the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Jews, just the opposite of what they would have previously known. The Bible tells us in the 82nd Psalm, Psalm 82 and verse 8, arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Again, a cross reference to Malachi 4, verse 2. Arise, O God, judge the earth. We look then to Jeremiah 14. In Jeremiah chapter 14, we begin reading with verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with a sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? Exactly what we've been talking about. The Lord is describing the time in the future when Jerusalem will be under siege. It will be so bad that the people will be lying dead all around that city and all around Israel. There'll be no one to bury them. But something happens. Something begins to take place. Remember when Jesus came during the first Advent, the people did not know their time of visitation. They rejected as a nation the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. He could have given them healing as a nation then had they believed on Him, but they rejected Him. Because of that, in the future, before the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second Advent, things will be so bad. Things will be so bad for the children of Israel that they will not even at this moment have time to bury their dead. But verse 19, hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us and there is no healing for us? Oh, there is healing coming. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings, but something's got to happen first. We looked for peace. Oh, they did. They looked to the world. They looked to the United Nations. They looked to the Antichrist. We looked for peace, and there is no good. And for the time of healing, and behold trouble, the tribulation period. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness. Uh-oh, what's happening? They're beginning to repent. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against Thee. Do not abhor us for Thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of Thy glory. Remember, break not Thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not Thou He, O Lord our God? Therefore, we will wait upon Thee. For Thou hast made all these things. Imagine it, folks. Whenever Jerusalem in the future is under siege, whenever the armies of the world are gathered together against them, whenever the sun has refused to shine and the moon is darkened with blood, whenever it looks like this earth is breaking apart and is moved out of her place, and they look around them and there is no hope, those Jews then begin to look within themselves. And what they see is not good. What they see is not right. And they begin to pray. And they begin to repent. And they begin to ask for healing. And what's the Lord going to do? He's going to hear that prayer. And He's going to answer that prayer. And you see, that's what happened back in Exodus chapter 2, is it not? Whenever there arose another king in Egypt who knew not Joseph, what did the scripture say there in Exodus 2 and verse 23? And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. God remembered His covenant. What is it those Jews are going to be praying over there when they admit that they're sinners? They're going to beg God to remember His covenant to them. There's no reason that He should. They have given Him no reason to favor them or to forgive them. But He is doing it because He loves them and because He's chosen them. And He is going to honor His covenant regardless of how many times they have broken it. And folks, if we want to make that spiritual application, there's no reason why He should have saved us except that He said He would if we would call upon Him, acknowledging our sin. And what a blessing it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to do that for us. And what a blessing it is that He is going to honor His covenant with Israel. And we look to Luke chapter 18. Here's one of those passages of Scripture. Unless we understand it in its context, will make no sense. Often a spiritual application is made, and I suppose it can be. But there is a correct doctrinal application, and it's within the context of that which we have been speaking this evening. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now the subject of the prayer is vengeance. avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now folks, it's often been said that if we don't get the answer today, go back tomorrow. Oh, we take our importunate request before God and we pray. God, are you listening? God, do you hear me? God, I've got problems. That's not what the scripture is talking about. He hears you the first time you pray. You don't have to get God to awaken in order to know what it is you need. This has a context. In verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Remember, every time you see that word elect, it's either talking about Jesus Christ or Jews. In this situation, it's talking about those Jews who are under siege there in Jerusalem and in Judah in the latter days. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It's talking about the coming of the Son of Man. It's talking about him coming in vengeance. It's a day of vengeance. He is going to avenge his elect, for just as those Jews over there in the Old Testament, whenever they were in Egypt for 400 years and the burden was hard and they were persecuted and tormented, as they began to remember God's covenant to them, they began to cry unto God, and God answered their prayer and delivered them. It's the same way in the future at the coming of the Son of Man. As those Jews are under siege, as the world has surrounded them and they think that there is no hope, and then they remember God, and they realize it's not God who has forsaken them, but it is they who have forsaken God. And they begin to repent, and they begin to cry unto God, and they are asking God to avenge them of their adversaries. And the scripture says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Yes, he will avenge them. That's when, in answer to their prayer, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And he will return and he'll fight the battle of Armageddon. And we read over in Luke chapter 21 further in this passage of Scripture. In Luke 21 and verse 28. Another passage that's often misapplied. This is not talking about you and I. It's talking about Israel. And when these things, verse 28 of Luke 21, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When everything's against them, when all the world is gathered about them to defeat them, to destroy them, and they realize we cannot resist. Our dead are even lying in the streets, and we cannot even bury them. We have no food to eat. We have nothing left to drink. Things look bad. Why, even the earth seems to be breaking apart and the sun is refusing to shine. There's blood falling down from the heavens. And they began to pray, oh God, remember us. God, will you avenge us? And the scripture has said, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Salvation is not coming from the sides. It's not coming from the earth. It's coming from above. The Lord is returning, and just by the word of his mouth, he will destroy those people who have gathered together against his chosen people. Can you imagine that time when the Lord Jesus Christ returns? Isaiah 59 tells us about it there in that portion of Scripture. In the 59th chapter of the book of Isaiah, beginning with verse 17, we read, For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Now this is often quoted by us as well, applying it to us spiritually speaking, and I suppose you can do that, but there is a context. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. The Lord will come from Zion because he hears his children pray, and he will put on the garments of vengeance. And by the time he's finished, that white apparel in which he was clad when he started is going to be dyed red with the blood of his enemies. For he will put them to death. He will bring healing to his people, the children of Israel. We look then to Zechariah 13. In Zechariah 13, the Bible gives us more information. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. There shall be a fountain open to the house of David. Lord, we've sinned. Lord, forgive us. Lord, remember your covenant. Lord, avenge us of our adversaries. We have no help but you. We have no hope but you. And the Lord Jesus Christ will return. He'll fight those devils there in the second heaven. His sword will be bathed in the heavens as he fights his way down. We're going to be following him, watching it all. The only time in history whenever there is an army that fights against an army, and it is the leader of the army alone who does the fighting, and the rest of the army just watches what happens. That's what's going to take place. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to get vengeance upon his adversaries. And he is going to deliver his people, Israel. And whenever he returns, the scripture says that this Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Not only brightness, not only victory, not only glory, but healing. And not just healing for their hunger, not just healing for their thirst, not just healing for their land or for their nation, but he is going to bring healing for their souls. Amen. There is going to be a fountain open for the house of David in that day. And we look back to Zechariah 12 once more. Zechariah 12. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, and the Lord of hosts their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. What a blessing it'll be. Everything that the Lord has prophesied in His Word will come to pass. Every bit of it, right down to the smallest detail. That time when great darkness is upon the earth. That time when the Lord Jesus Christ returns as the Son of Righteousness. He will come to exact vengeance upon those who are gathered together against His people. And He will come to give healing unto His people who have humbled themselves before Him. He is returning in the second advent. Can you imagine when they think it's the end and they lift up their heads and their redemption draweth nigh and they hear, they don't just see the brightness of His coming, but they hear, as the Scripture says, they hear their Redeemer roar out of Zion and He returns. And they're glad. All of a sudden, in hunger and in thirst, with death all about them, with the earth changing, they begin to rejoice. Our Messiah is coming. He has heard our prayer. He is coming. He is defeating our enemies. Israel is jubilant. We would be too if we were in that situation. If we were at our end, we would rejoice. But look what happens next. Zechariah 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David. Now here's what the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings will do. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon Me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for Him as one mourneth for his only son. And shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. What's going to happen? As they have cried for the Lord, and the just judge has heard, and He returns. He has prophesied to them to lift up their heads, for their redemption draweth nigh. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings. They think healing for their nation. They think healing for their land. It's what the Messiah promised. They think vengeance on their enemies. All those things will be realized. But can you imagine the scene? As they're watching what takes place, it's our Messiah. We've longed for Him. We've prayed for Him. They're rejoicing. Everyone is rejoicing. He defeats their enemies. All worries are gone. And then the Scripture says, and they shall look on Me whom they have pierced. When He spreads His arms and they see the nail prints in His hands, and they see His riven side, they'll realize that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. And immediately, the joy will turn into mourning. They will fall to their knees. And they'll hide their faces as they mourn and as they weep for bitterness and as they repent of their rejection of their Messiah. And the next chapter says then that that fountain will be open unto them. Amen. They'll be justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is. That's going to be a wonderful time whenever they look on Him whom they have pierced. You say it's going to be a wonderful time in the future. Oh, it's been a wonderful time ever since the blessed event of the crucifixion and resurrection. For you see, there was a time whenever you reached your end, whenever you realized you were a sinner, whenever you knew that there was no hope for you within yourself or around you, and you looked to one who had died on the cross
You looked upon the one who was pierced for your sins and my sins. And you called upon him to save you from your sins and from everlasting destruction. You see, the spiritual application is there as well. Every one of us who are saved can tell you what a great thing it is to be saved, to know the Savior. We have looked unto him, he who died on the cross for our sins, he who suffered for us as well as for the Jews, he who died for the Gentiles, for all the world. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you're in more trouble than those Jews will be in the second advent. Because the horrors of the lake of fire are worse than anything that they'll face at that time. And the only healing that you can know is to look upon the one who was pierced for you and ask him to save your soul. And if you're here tonight and you've never done that, oh, I beg you that you'd come to Jesus. Saint, the message tonight is to get us to think about